officially videotaping and recording. So that's what we're, that's what Brother Brad is helping with this morning. Good morning. I love you all. Thankful for you all being here. For us to look at God's Word and direct our hearts, start a new day of the week that God's blessed us with. Brother Smith, thank you for those songs that remind us of God's power, Him being in control, and where our hearts should be with Him. Book of Proverbs, beginning in my version of my Bible, it is written, the key word in Proverbs is wisdom. The ability to live life skillfully. A godly life in an ungodly world, however, is no simple assignment. Proverbs provides God's detailed instructions for His people to deal successfully with the practical affairs of everyday life. How to relate to God, parents, children, neighbors, and government. Solomon, the principal author, used a combination of poetry, parables, pithy questions, short stories, and wise maxims to give in strikingly memorable form the common sense and divine perspective necessary to handle life's issues. The world has needed this since the time Solomon wrote it, and the world has needed it every day and since today. And we need God's wisdom and His understanding and His providence in our lives. Thus, the title of our lesson this morning, I plead with us to recognize that wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity come from God. Not from emotions, not from self-justification, not from what someone else might say. Because our hearts are troubled many times in our lives. And we have to deal with these issues within our family and within our workplace and as part of our lives. But we need to make sure our hearts and our minds are directed by God's holy will. Not by emotions. Not by potentially things that we may have experienced and we still have strong feelings about one way or the other. If we look at God's word in our passage this morning, receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Give prudence to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will obtain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. As we read this proverb this morning, Proverbs 1, I ask for us to consider what goes on in our lives and has been, as long as you've been here. I've been here for 58 plus years. But also what's happening in our lives day to day. And God's truth and God's word and God's power is still alive and active in our lives today. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down in the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed blood. Surely, in vain the net is spread in sight of any bird, but they lie and wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Let me ask you something. You ever said something or did something, you know, your father would say, uh-uh. Or your mom would call you by your name, your full name, huh? Solomon uses that simple principle, as we read here, common sense. I almost want to make next week's lesson about common sense, but I'll use it in today's lesson. Common sense, you know, you say, well, that's common sense isn't that common anymore, right? Common sense is God sense. It's following God. It's having your heart directed and your steps directed by God. That's common sense. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. It's not self-justifying evil and hate for any reason. That's the type of heart that crucified Jesus on the cross, folks. Self-righteous. Religious leaders of God and crowds went along and chanted, "Crucify him, crucify him." Let our hearts be humbled before God and follow Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Not the crowds, not the masses. Hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. And if you don't have common sense or God's sense, I pray that you drop on your knees and pray to God to change your heart. And you better change your heart. God wants you. God wants your heart. We need to be full of love and forgiveness and grace and mercy and peace. Not hatefulness, not self-righteousness. Yes, what the world needs now is love, but love is God. God is love. The world needs God. Continuing in Proverbs, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And obviously this is Solomon talking about God. And for us to question God is not a bad thing. But us to question God to justify sin is evil. Because God says, I'll pour out my heart. I'll make my words known to you. I have called you. I've stretched out my hand to you. But you refuse to change your heart. You have rejected me. And folks, I plead with us to recognize when people proclaim to do something in the name of good, in the name of God, and it is contrary to Jesus and his words, a love thy neighbor as yourself. Refuse them, reject them, and recognize that it's evil. evil. Anything that's contrary to God's word is evil. And I think it's cautious for us also to recognize God has the right to mock somebody. God has the right. Okay? And destruction. And when anguish come upon people for their evilness and their sins, be very cautious. What did Jesus get excited about when he was here? He certainly didn't get excited when people beat him and dragged him out of the garden and crucified him. The apostles, when did they get excited? They got excited when they saw people forgiving one another, turning the other cheek, loving their neighbor as their self, following Jesus. That's what they got excited about. I don't know, we live in a world, folks, where we can't talk about politics and religion in the workplace. Okay? Been a big no-no. Can't even talk about politics in a church. Big no-no. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus draw that line in our lives? He talked about God all the time. When are you going to stop your faith and start it back up again? Did Jesus do that? No, he did not. Now, Jesus didn't run around and tell everybody about their sins every time they turned around and did something wrong either. Did he? He'd have walked up and down the street, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt. He didn't do that, folks. Let's follow his example. I love you no matter what, but you can't live forever and do that. You can't be part of the kingdom of heaven and do that. Sin cannot be in the presence of God. We need to be cautious. Folks, we got people here not here this morning because they've bought into the lie that it's okay to do their own thing and not follow God. And I love you because you've made the choice to be here and encourage one another. And continuing in Proverbs, the end of the chapter, it says, chapter 1, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Because they hated knowledge of what is good, knowledge of God, did not choose the fear of the Lord. See, you listen to that, but what about knowledge? I got a PhD in this, PhD in that. All good. Actually, I rely on people that have knowledge in areas that I don't have time to study, and I need their expertise to help me in my job, in my career. Putting a building together. Engineers, designers, planners, people that are controlling the money, financing, all those entities people have expertise in, and I rely on them to help me do my job. So that type of knowledge is good and beneficial and necessary for our society to operate. But when you start using a knowledge that doesn't include God, title of our lesson this morning, because it's four words, I'm an old hillbilly, I got to remember it, right? Justice, judgment, wisdom, equity. I don't know about you, but I like to be treated equal. I like to have a fair judgment in my life. I like to be able to use wisdom and have wisdom used to me and decisions about me and my life. And justice, I want to see justice. So does God. But a world without God doesn't see any of that stuff. That's what Solomon's saying. Look unto me. Jesus said, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The difference between knowledge that is useful and knowledge that is not, or people that really hate knowledge, what godly knowledge is, they don't fear God. They don't care about doing the right thing. They don't care about common sense. They don't care about God's sense. You ever wonder why Jesus didn't reiterate an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Why don't we still practice that? How many of us would like to practice that? Some of us. At times in our lives, you're exactly right. But let me ask you this. How many times in your life did you want to do something and retribution to somebody else? I'll just give you an example. Something simple. Okay? I'm in the shop. I'm looking for a tool and I can't find it. And Lucas has been out in the shop working on something in the shop. So I blame Lucas for losing my tool. So eye for an eye says, Lucas, give me $35. Two things he says. Here's your $35. I don't have $35. Or I'm not going to give you $35. Let's just say Lucas gives me $35 for that tool. Eye for an eye. I'll feel all good about that. Next day I'm out in the shop and I find that tool that I was using and I left someplace else. That's why God doesn't let us have an eye for an eye, folks. Because He is all powerful and He is the administrator of vengeance and justice and wisdom and judgment and equality. And unless we look to Him, we're in a world of hurt. We can't do it. We don't see the big picture. And as you get older, just like Solomon said, listen to your mom, listen to your dad, listen to people that have some experience and some wisdom. Solomon says, you don't know it all. Humble yourselves at the feet of the Master. And love the knowledge of God and fear the Lord in your lives. In the New Testament this morning, I pulled some passages for some reason being like-minded. We need to be like-minded. We need to be like Jesus. We need to know what the knowledge is and truth of God is. So our couple passages from the New Testament in our lesson this morning pertain to being like-minded. And there are a couple, three passages this morning. The lesson is yours. In Romans chapter 15, it is written, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. to be like-minded, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I don't know about you, but I need patience and I need comfort. I want peace in my heart, and I want joy in my heart, and I want love in my heart. And I do receive that from you, brothers and sisters, and I appreciate that. But the fulfillment of that in my life, in my heart, in my spirit, is to be humbled by God and His power and ask Him to direct my paths and direct our paths, that we might be patient and we might have comfort. My wife has a tremendous amount of patience being married to me. And she brings me comfort sometimes. But she cannot come close to the power that God has to touch my heart and to help me be like Him. In Philippians it is written, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, that above all things, no matter what happens to you in your life, to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, no matter what it takes. Continuing in Philippians chapter 2, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain, yes. And if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice in service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know of your state. For I have no one like-minded who would sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ. I pray for us this morning not to fall into this trap and to concern Brother Paul's writing about this. I have highlighted seek things which are of Christ Jesus. Be like-minded and seek the things which are of Christ Jesus in our lives. The world wants us, Satan wants us to seek other things. They want us to be self-judged. Satan wants us to make our own decisions without common sense, without God's sense, without our hearts being humbled before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's recap the things we've read in God's holy word this morning. Wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To know wisdom and instruction. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful adornment on your head and chains about your neck. Wisdom calls aloud outside. I will make my words known to you because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded because you have disdained all my counsel. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. We, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, might be like-minded. Like-minded. If we didn't have this holy word and God's book of love to us, we wouldn't know what to do. I don't know about you. My wife may say I'm a mess now, but I'm telling you, without God's word, I'd even be more of a mess, I guess. Have confidence in His power of His word to help us in our lives. To be like-minded. Like-minded, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Like-minded, seek the things which are of Christ Jesus. Peace, love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Be a good Samaritan. Forgive no matter what. Don't be enraged. Don't take vengeance out. That's God's business. He'll do it for you. Guaranteed. It's in His word. He says He'll take care of it. May not be a lightning bolt. He will take care of it for you. Because He promises that. If your heart is not right with God, or you haven't given it to Jesus to become His child, this morning, there's no better time to make that right as we stand and sing the selected hymn.